Welcome to Evergreen 101. I'm Johnny Weidman, and I'll be hosting our short podcast series here on the web. If you found yourself here by internet or by direction from someone you know, this podcast is going to be about why Evergreen came to be, what it is, and just a place where we can share stories from some of our members. And to be able to just give a brief statement on who we are. Today, I'm joined by our pastor, Derek Heumann. Hey, Derek.
Hello, everybody. Great to be with you.
Yes. And he and I are just going to discuss here on episode one, just what exactly is Evergreen and some of our brief history. Also, we want to talk a little bit about where we are, what we're doing, and kind of just some of our model things. So Derek, the first question I want to direct at you is what are we? I know, but tell the listeners.
Yeah, great question, Johnny. So Evergreen started in 2018 with a vision to equip and connect people to truly be a community. For people to see themselves as everyday missionaries where they live, work, and play, to be organized not primarily in a building, in a Sunday morning expression of church, but to be a different way of being the church. And so what that from the beginning, what we always said it would be is really what we look like now, which is a network of missional communities, which are groups of disciples and seekers, extended families on mission together in different geographical regions or connected to different networks of people. So we currently exist in Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, Brighton, and Jackson. We're about to multiply into Milan. And so we are this network of house churches or missional communities who gather together to follow Jesus where we live, work, and play.
Yes. And another question about just how the church setting is organized. So you expressed that they meet in houses. They meet in what you call missional communities. And explain a little bit about our once a month gathering, if you please.
Yeah. So 3 of the 4 weeks of a month, the group, the different communities gather together in people's homes. But then every third Sunday, we gather together, all the communities, to worship together, to have fellowship, to hear a sermon, to engage in prayer together, in scripture together, to truly be formed as a larger corporate community of Evergreen. And then we also, Every time we gather, we receive communion together. We participate at the table with one another. And then we usually have an awesome feast afterwards where we just chill and hang out and talk and connect between the different communities and socialize just to build a larger identity and more of that collective presence now that we're more scattered and decentralized.
Sure. Yeah, we do end up eating a lot, I will say, at Evergreen, a lot of time at the table together, which ends up being quite nice to be able to get to know everyone and just spend time chatting in those spaces. Yeah, so we know a bit about how it's organized now. But what I wanted to ask you, Derek, about it is Evergreen is your brainchild. And I wanted to kind of see, get just a brief history from your perspective on where this idea came from and how it kind of came to be in the last few years right before you started it, before you planted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I came into a meeting in December of 2016 with the leadership of the Southern Michigan Conference of the Free Methodist Church. And they looked at me and they said, Derek, you're graduating in 18 months. What is it that you feel God is calling you to do? And I looked at them point blank and I said, well, let me start with the one thing I feel uneducated, ill-equipped, and not called to do: plant churches. and they chuckled and they said, okay, well, why don't you tell us what you are called to do? What do you feel like God has placed on your heart? What vision has he given you? And I essentially described Evergreen. I described a community where discipleship being growing in intimacy with Jesus and imitating his way of life, becoming like him in every way, shape, and form, not just being a good or commodity that the church offers, but to be the central orienting thing that we're about. I talked about, out of my own experience with Jesus, supernaturally healing me, wanting to create spaces for people to encounter him as healer, to experience emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, relational healing. I wanted a place where people could grow with Jesus and one another through discipleship bands, which you'll hear people talk about. And discipleship bands are just these smaller groups of 3 to 5 men or women who gather to commune with one another and with God, to share the states of their soul, to confess sin, to really be transparent and receive prayer, receive forgiveness, receive absolution. And then the other thing I shared was wanting to create a space, a community, not create, because I was against creating anything back then, but wanting to be a part of a community that lived into the convergence of the three main traditions or main streams of the Christian faith: the evangelical stream, the sacramental or liturgical stream, and then the charismatic stream. And I just had so many different experiences with God, and being at Asbury, there's just this huge different group of people and from all different traditions, and I experienced God in all these different places. And coming from an evangelical Free Methodist, not in a little bit non-denominational world, I only kind of knew one of these streams, maybe a trickle of a second. But to see all three flowing, as using this river metaphor, as mighty rivers, all kind of twirling and spinning into each other, letting all of it exist and just dealing with the mess. And they looked at me and they said, "You're a church planter." And I was like, "No, I'm not." And they said, "Yes, you are." So that started the journey of discernment. And fast forward, over the next 18 months, within 3 months, God had confirmed, yes, in fact, I was called to start this new community. And later, about November of 2017 is when I got the name. The Lord gave me the name Evergreen. And that name came because of the word hope and kind of the verse that started Evergreen, that was that kicked it all off, was Romans 15:13, which says, "May the God of hope fill you with all grace and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And I was at this time, I was in Maryland at a church planters boot camp, is what they called it, a week-long kind of immersive crash course on church planting. And I was praying after one of the sessions, and I was asking God for a name, and I was resonating with this idea of hope. And the Lord just gave me the evergreen tree. And as I thought about it, I was like, that's kind of weird to name your church after a tree, but all right. And as I thought about it, I, you know, evergreen tree made me think of Christmas time and the season of Advent, which is right before. It's the one season of the year where, you know, we cut down trees, we put them in our living room, and they're supposed to remind us of something. And upon doing some more research, I discovered that the evergreen tree is actually, you know, a quintessential symbol for that time of year, because it's a symbol of hope. The evergreen tree also is a symbol of the incarnation of Jesus, Jesus coming, God coming and becoming human, fully entering into our world. And this was the type of model, the type of way that we want to be. We want to be with people and step into their lives. And And Jesus shows us how to do that. And so all of a sudden, what was really odd and strange to name your church after a tree became the absolute best name that that could have been picked, because it encapsulates the hope from the original verse. It, the hope that comes from healing, the hope that comes from being a disciple and making disciples, and then the hope of the incarnation of Jesus himself. And so all of that time was just planning and preparing and praying and thinking and reading and studying and working through this plan. And, you know, another really cool thing, you know, Evergreen story isn't, it's not just our thing, but we're also part of a larger story where the conference we're a part of in Southern Michigan, God had stirred in the leadership's heart to plant 10 new churches in 3 years, which for some people coming from different circles, 10 churches in 3 years is like a drop in the bucket. But for our conference, our little tribe, we hadn't planted 10 churches in 50 years. Oh, wow. And so to say God is calling us to plant 10 churches in 3 years made people incredibly uncomfortable and really question whether they had heard correctly. And so the beautiful thing is Evergreen was one of those original, we were the first, if not the second, church plant out of this call, this vision of a larger group of people. And so it's just a really beautiful thing that, yes, God planted us in Ann Arbor, but we're also part of a movement of churches and disciples and leaders seeking to do new things and experiment with innovative and different models of church.
Yeah, thank you for that backstory. I know that I've personally benefited from just the faithfulness you've shown our community and our church, and I've been so blessed by your efforts and been blessed by the efforts of everyone at Evergreen. And it's just been such an exciting, like you said, a hope in my life for sure. And so I just want to say, yeah, we appreciate you and we appreciate your just your efforts. So that's a bit about Evergreen and a bit about its history, just from the mouth of the pastor himself. I guess one question is why start Evergreen in Ann Arbor? Why did you feel called here?
Yeah. So in that meeting I referenced earlier, my assistant superintendent at the time, Michael Forney, he said, with every seed a vision, God is also preparing some context where he wants to plant that seed. And so he then looked me in the eye and said, where is God sending you? And in my heart, in my being, I just felt immediately Ann Arbor. And I shook it off because I, again, was totally against church planting at this point. Mm-hmm. And he asked me like 4 or 5 times, where is God sending you? Where is God sending you? And each time Ann Arbor grew louder and louder and louder within my soul. And finally, once I blurted out loud, Ann Arbor, he said, great, why? And I immediately gave very quick reasons, actually, that surprised me even. And so those were, one, Ann Arbor is, you know, the nations gather here. People come from all over the world to study at University of Michigan and to work here in Ann Arbor, whether at the hospital or at the university or in one of the growing, you know, tech industry businesses that are here. Hmm. So we have such an opportunity where the nations are coming to us. Second, I was born here, and this is the city. If there's one city in Michigan that I know the best, or at least the county that I know the best, it is Washtenaw County. It is this county. My parents were born in Ypsilanti, My dad worked in Milan. We lived in Ann Arbor for 5 years, and I grew up in Chelsea, which is just 20 minutes west. And so I just know this place really, really well, better than any place in the world. And so I shared that, like, home turf advantage. I also shared, you know, being a fairly educated person myself, I resonate talking with intellectual, highly educated people. It's very stimulating and engaging for me. And so fitting in with that, just like the similarities of people who are highly educated, people who are wealthy and affluent, not that we're intentionally or disregarding those of lower socioeconomic statuses, but someone has to be among and minister with people who have wealth. God has not forsaken them. You know, there are stories where Jesus says it is harder for the rich to inherit the kingdom of heaven, but it's not impossible. And so there's that. And then also, as I thought about it, you know, every time I'd come up to visit family during vacations, I'd drive through Ann Arbor and just, like, long to be here. And there's just a deep love for the city that I have and continue to have. And so I shared all these things, and they're like, wow, sounds like God's calling you to Ann Arbor. And I'm like, wow, I guess God is calling me to Ann Arbor. This surprise is crazy. Surprise myself.
So you packed up with your family, moved back out to Ann Arbor here, and you had a kind of a vision. So tell me, has it remained basically the same as when you verbalized it to the conference people, or has it changed?
Yeah, so it's pretty much stayed. I mean, it's gotten sharper, it's gotten clearer. With vision, we cast vision, we start moving towards it, and then God gives us clarity around certain things, and then we continue moving forward. And so, all that being said, it has generally stayed the same. So when we started, you know, we started July of 2018. In our home in Woodbury Gardens on Sunday nights. And the vision was that we would be a community gathered and scattered, living out the hope of Jesus in our cities, gathering together to be formed, but then scattered, sent out to be missionaries, where we live, where we work, where we play, that the mission field is all around us, that God has called us to announce with our words and demonstrate with our actions that Jesus is King, that the kingdom of God is coming, is already here, and there's hope in that, that the good news of Jesus isn't just you get to go to heaven in the future, but the good news of Jesus impacts our present reality now. It also impacts and forgives and redeems our past, but it also charts a course for the future. And so from day one, we've been teaching and equipping and forming people to be disciples who are disciple makers, and to be missionaries who are sent out from the place of gathering to embody this hope. And so then our mission as a church is we are to join God in the renewal of all things as everyday missionaries of Jesus Christ in the fullness of the Spirit, where we live, where we work, and where we play. And so our mission is never initiated by us. God is the sent and sending God. He's the one who from the beginning created everything out of nothing. He, you know, sent the law and the prophets, the kings, the priests, sent his own son to reveal his nature, so that all for the purpose of sharing in his life. And so we are not bringing the kingdom of God. We are not bringing the gospel to Ann Arbor. Jesus has been here for many, many years, and we simply enter in and we pay attention and we notice, where is God at work? And so then we join him. And what are we joining him in? We're joining him in the renewal of all things, because through Christ, his salvation, his healing isn't just for individual souls, but it's for families, it's for neighborhoods, it's for cities, it's for all of creation. All plants and animals, he wants to make all things new. And so we're joining God in the renewal of all things, because we can't renew anything ourselves. And so we want to continue to equip and form and disciple people to do this thing, to notice where God is at work and to join him in it. And then how we do that is, again, we join together in these missional communities who are also within those communities are knitted together even more tightly with discipleship bands. And then each of these different missional communities all come together once a month. And so that was the vision from day one. And we're living into that, you know, years later, with multiple communities across multiple cities, where we're not just a group of people in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti, but we truly are scattered in a greater sense. We're gathered as a regional church once a month, and we're scattered in our different cities, in our different expressions, our different missional communities. And it's honestly more than what I expected God to do. I thought this would be years away, and it's happening now. And so that's a pretty beautiful thing.
That's awesome.
I think another thing to mention is, you know, from the beginning, I just have a heart for millennials and for the generation below us, Gen Z. And so everything that we do is really oriented towards millennials and Gen Zers. It's not that we're against Gen Xers or boomers by any means, but we have said, like, we are here for this generation of people. And so if older generations have a heart for millennials and Gen Zers, then, like, come on, let's go. Who are willing to do church differently. That's the key thing. And I've met very few Gen Xers and boomers who are actually willing to do that. Which is why we are a church primarily composed of 18 to 37 year olds. And we now have, you know, a handful of kids coming along with us, but
more than a handful at this point, but lots of kids. Well, I want to thank you, Derek, for your time today and just explaining all that. If you have any more questions, we'd love to answer those. In the next few episodes, we may be able to answer some of those. In episode 2, we're going to talk about why Evergreen for some of our members. We'll have a few people on to hear their stories. And in episode 3, we want to talk about where Evergreen is going and what it looks like, and just how the experience is for people at our missional communities. So thank you for listening today. We'd love to see you in the next few episodes, and we'll see you next time.